This episode is brought to you by Charles Schwab. Decisions made in Washington can affect your portfolio every day. Washington Wise from Charles Schwab is an original podcast that unpacks the stories making news there. Listen at schwab.com/washingtonwise.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Another turn in the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation fight as accuser Christine Ford says she will not appear as invited to a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing next Monday to air her accusations against the Supreme Court nominee. She first wants a complete FBI investigation into her allegations. Welcome. I'm Paul Gigot, and I'm here to talk about the latest in this biggest political story of the moment with my colleague Bill McGurn. Kim Strassel is traveling today. So welcome, Bill.
Thanks, Paul.
So let's talk about this turn. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley has invited both Brett Kavanaugh and Christine Blasey Ford to testify in public or in private, however the Ms. Ford wants it, on Monday. The idea, of course, is that they want to finish this, get this vetted, cleared as quickly as possible. They've already postponed the vote that had been set up for this Thursday, so it would be after that testimony at a minimum. But now Ms. Ford and her lawyer, speaking through her lawyer, says, no, I want to wait for the FBI. What do you make of that?
Well, look, this has been an exercise, I think, in bad faith from the start. I mean, if Dianne Feinstein really thought these were credible charges against a candidate, she had multiple opportunities to question Brett on it and to have a bigger investigation.
She's the Democratic senator ranking member who had the letter.
Who knew who she was. And she sat on it to the last minute. And what we have is a story of the Republican committee members, especially Chuck Grassley, trying to abide by the rules. There are rules and processes for all these. You know, a defendant in a criminal trial would have more rights than Brett Kavanaugh has. I don't know where you go. Who is the famous cabinet member said, where do I go to get my reputation back?
Former Labor Secretary Ray Donovan.
Donovan, right. So it's just hard. And even with this last minute, you wait until all the hearings are held, all the questions have been answered, all the private meetings have been concluded, and then you spring something before the vote without sharing it with the chairman of the committee. Even with that, what did the Republicans do? They canceled the vote. They held a meeting. They didn't call the meeting for the next day. They followed the procedure, weekly notice. They're trying to do everything by the rules. You know, the Democrats also rejected a phone call between the staffs to discuss this issue, which is the standard operating procedure when something new in a candidate's background comes up. So the Republicans are trying to preserve some order. And I think what we have here is a very bad faith effort just to do what the Wall Street Journal editorials have insisted from the start, is delay this until after the elections.
The decision to hold the hearing next Monday was made on Monday.
Right.
And the standard procedure is to give everybody a week's notice. So the curiosity for me is, first of all, the claim was she must give her a hearing. We must hear her out.
Right, she must be heard.
She must be heard. And now, well, no, I want to be heard, but only when I want to be heard.
It's kind of like St. Augustine, Lord, make me chaste, but not yet.
and I don't want to. I mean, you say it's an exercise in bad faith. I think it's an exercise in bad faith by the Democrats.
Absolutely.
Without question. Their goal, it's transparent. They want to push this past the election, win the election, and then say we can't confirm anybody until the new Senate takes their oaths of office. But in the question of Ms. Ford, this puzzles me. I mean, she wanted to be heard. Do you think we don't know what her motives are for delay. They could be that she is having some second thoughts maybe about appearing in such a supercharged hearing. Or it could be that her lawyer is, in fact, part of this Democratic strategy. I think both are possible.
Right. I'm inclined more to the latter, and with the lawyer. I mean, there's a history of how people are used by the different machines, you know, when they come forward. Look, she did go to the Washington Post at first. She did apparently hire a lawyer and undergo a polygraph test back in August. You know, why was she doing that if this was just about being heard? Look, and it comes down to this. A lot of the Republicans, not a lot of the Republicans, but some key Republicans, Bob Corker, Jeff Flake, Lisa Murkowski, and Susan Collins says, we need to hear this lady. Let her come, let her speak, and be heard respectfully. And that's why Chairman Grassley delayed the vote and called for the hearing, right? Because he had these people who insisted on letting her be heard. Now they have to decide, is what she's owed a right to be heard or a right to delay indefinitely a vote after all this? And I think the good news is that both Jeff Flake and Bob Corker have said if she's not going to testify on Monday, if she's not going to take advantage of the opportunity we're giving her, then we should just proceed to the vote. Susan Collins is not quite there, at least publicly, but she seems to be moving in that direction. And if that happens, then I think the Republicans should and will proceed to a vote.
What about this? Her request is for a full FBI investigation of all of this. Democrats, of course, are insisting on the same. Dianne Feinstein, when she made her initial announcement 10 days or so ago about this, maybe it wasn't even that long. It's been quite, it seems like it was a month ago. But she announced that she had turned it over, right, the letter from Christine Ford to the FBI, when in fact protocol would have been to turn it over to the Senate Judiciary Committee, right, on which she sits. She said she didn't. She has since said that she didn't do that because she wanted to honor the request by Ms. Ford to remain anonymous. Now that she is gone public, of course, it would seem, I mean, the normal protocol would be the FBI file was closed. They had done their background check. They had submitted everything. The normal process, and that's why when Feinstein made her initial announcement, the FBI said, look, we have added the letter from Ms. Ford to the file, but we don't do criminal investigations for about allegations that happened 35 or 36 years ago. And it wouldn't be and they didn't say this, but I can. It would not have been a federal crime anyway. This would have been, even if it was a sexual assault and it happened, it would have been a local crime. So that's not the role of the FBI to investigate. Second, the role of the FBI in background checks is to, at most, interview somebody. Right. Here's what you said. Then you go and interview somebody else. Here's what they said. It's not to say, should we charge somebody?
Right.
Do we think one is telling the truth and one isn't? They will say if something contradicts something else, some fact or some assertion, or if a person contradicts him or herself, but they don't make judgments about guilt or innocence or the weight of preponderance of evidence. That's up to the senators. And the FBI role here just is to basically provide as much information as possible about the background and character of the nominee to the senators, who then have the job of deciding who to believe.
Right. Look, we had an editorial on this that I think laid it out very clearly, some of what you were just saying. My dad was in the FBI. He still does, as a retired agent, some background checks for the State Department and so forth. So it's kind of the family business, you know? And what he does is, if you're...
I knew, Bill, there was always something intimidating about you.
And what he does is ask, you know, what you do when you apply for a job or you're a nominee, you fill out a questionnaire, you list references, and you list people, teachers, you know, that you had in high school and college and so forth, friends, neighbors. And then when they go to that person, they'll say, is there anyone else I should talk to? So it's pretty thorough. In other words, it's not just limited to the list you provide. They ask them, well, and someone you interview might say, well, you should talk to his ex-wife or his former business partner or something like that. And you learn pretty quickly what happens. And as you rightly point out, it's not a criminal investigation. It's gathering material on what people say. My dad says it's pretty clear after you start for a while, you know, what people are going to say. They sort of say the same things. Either you find out there's trouble and then you find out more, or people kind of say the same, you know, never saw drug use, never saw this. And also, I went through this myself when I worked at the White House at a very high level of security clearance. I believe they probably even asked you.
I'm afraid, Bill, I have to admit they did. They came in and talked to me as your former employer, or at the time.
At the time.
Your former employer.
And I think under FOIA, I could still get that if I asked for it. But obviously, either they didn't believe you or it wasn't enough to stop me from taking the job. So this is just a misuse of the FBI. And again, look, is the issue that she needs to be heard in a high-level forum? They also made the terms up to her. She could testify in private. She could testify in public. They allowed some latitude to how she would testify and who would question her. And, you know, first she said she was going to do it. Now she says she doesn't want to. So the Republicans have to decide. Because remember, the Democrats can't defeat the Kavanaugh nomination. Only the Republicans can, with defecting Republicans, right? So the Republicans have to decide, is there obligation to let this woman be heard and give her the forum, the proper forum, which is the Senate Judiciary Committee, or is the obligation to indulge in Democratic requests for delay, 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 in the hope that something either comes up or we at least pass the midterms and they don't have to vote on it.
All right. We're talking about the confirmation fight of Brett Kavanaugh on the accusations of Christine Ford, and you're listening to Potomac Watch from The Wall Street Journal.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The Future of Everything podcast from The Wall Street Journal. Another new episode is coming soon as we look at science, technology, and their influence on our lives. The Future of Everything podcast from The Wall Street Journal. The future is closer than you think. From the opinion pages of The Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Jagot here with Bill McGurn. Kim Strassel's traveling today, so the two of us are talking about the Brett Kavanaugh nomination fight. And one just new bit of evidence that has turned up when Christine Ford made her accusations about Brett Kavanaugh's alleged assault some 35 or 36 years ago, and when the two were in high school, she said that there were two people in the room, one of which was, in addition to herself, one was Mr. Kavanaugh, one was Mark Judge, a friend. Mark Judge, that friend, has said that he remembers nothing about it, does not believe it happened. She also named two other people by name who the name was not disclosed in the original Washington Post story that Ms. Ford said were in the home where it happened. Now we have one of those two men, a fellow by the name of Patrick Smith, S-M-Y-T-H, who also attended Georgetown Prep, like Brett Kavanaugh and Mark Judge. And he has issued a statement through his lawyer saying that, I understand that I have been identified by Dr. Christine Blasey Ford as the person she remembers as PJ, who supposedly was present at the party she described in her statements to the Washington Post. I am issuing this statement today to make it clear to all involved that I have no knowledge of the party in question, nor do I have any knowledge of the allegations of improper conduct she has leveled against Brett Kavanaugh, unquote. Now, Mr. Smith is a supporter of Brett Kavanaugh's nomination and had been before these allegations came out. You can take that, choose to believe that or not. But I guess the point is, so far, there's nothing to corroborate Ms. Ford's accusations. And I'm not saying she's lying. I don't know. But there's nothing corroborating them while we have two people who are saying we didn't see them.
Right. The only other people, look, I think by her own admission, she told no one at the time, no girlfriends or something. So we can't get any corroboration from any of the women who might have been her friends or men at the time, young men. And the other people whom she's named not only denied, this isn't, as again, I think an editorial pointed out, it's not a he said, she said about an incident. The three people who were named by her as being there categorically denied that they were at any party where this happened, and much less that they ever saw Brett Kavanaugh doing that. So again, there doesn't seem to be any corroboration yet. And plus, it's difficult because the woman doesn't give a year for when it happened. I believe she's not even able to locate the house. So it's hard to see how you would verify this one way or the other.
Yeah, I just want to stipulate that I don't know if she's lying, and I'm not accusing her of lying.
Right.
I think she would appear to be, since let's credit her with sincerity in believing that this happened. We're just stating what the facts are of an accusation that's enormously serious. Not just for Mr. Kavanaugh, but also for and his family, but also for the implications for the country.
I absolutely agree, and I think that's what the Judiciary Committee is doing. No one's called her a liar. No one's said this. They say, okay, come, we'll hear you out. But while no one should dismiss her as a liar without knowing more, no one should dismiss Brett Kavanaugh's candidacy without hard evidence that he's guilty of what is a very serious accusation. And, you know, if a man can be derailed after all the hearings by a single, uncorroborated, unsubstantiated accusation with no evidence of a pattern behavior, I mean, I'm not sure how many people could pass that kind of I'm not sure if St. Paul could pass that test.
Well, this St. Paul couldn't. So let's go on to the politics of this. You were dealing with such a serious subject, but nonetheless, this is the Senate of the United States. These folks, men and women, think about politics probably 99% of the time. We have especially in an election year, election is coming up. My sense, Bill, is that the Democrats believe this is a win-win for them. That is, if Kavanaugh is confirmed, especially after a contentious hearing again where the allegations are surfaced, they'll use it to suggest that their Republicans are dismissive of women, dislike women, and will use it in the campaign to try to drive not only their base turnout, but try to sour Republican women who already aren't fond of Donald Trump against the Republicans. On the other hand, if Kavanaugh withdraws and is defeated, they think it will benefit them because Republican voters will be demoralized and many of them will be furious with their own party.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear.
Do you agree with that?
I think it's possible. Look, the way I see it is, first of all, Brett is not going to withdraw. If he's going to go down, they're going to insist on a vote so people have some accountability for what they do. And that's right. I mean, that's what the senator's supposed to be. At least stand up and you don't think he's fit? Put that on the vote and then take that to the electorate. The Republican electorate, I mean, in this midterm, one of the problems is the enthusiasm hasn't been as high as the Democrats. It varies between, you know, 7 and 14 points, but
lower than Democrats.
And there was a story recently that one of the problems is a lot of Republican voters don't believe the polls, so they feel kind of complacent that it's not as bad as they think, and so they don't have as much incentive to go out to the polls. This would galvanize them. Look, a lot of people voted for Donald Trump. They held their nose, and they voted because of the Supreme Court. Republican voters understand it. I think this may be likely to whip up Republican enthusiasm that hasn't been there so far. Especially in these tight Senate races, maybe it wouldn't affect so much a House vote. It's interesting Donald Trump has not weighed in on Dr. Ford, which I think is wise.
He did today a little bit. He said that he felt it's very hard for Brett Kavanaugh's family. He feels for Brett Kavanaugh's family. He said he found it. He welcomes Ms. Ford's testimony.
Right.
Wants her to appear. Hopes she appears. He did say also that he said he finds it hard to believe that this really happened.
Right. But that's not an attack.
No.
I mean, and it's not a Trumpian attack
no,
that
it's
we're
not.
We're used to. So the Republicans, I think, are playing it pretty smart. And I think this has if they succeeded in killing Brett Kavanaugh, I think they would do the Democrats would do a lot of good for themselves. First of all, they would make it harder for the next nominee, and they would have kept the guy that they don't want off the Supreme Court, and that might galvanize their base. But if he gets on, a lot of the Republican electorate just sees the Democratic establishment as dishonest, not playing by the rules, willing to smear decent people, you know, in the name of politics. So I think they're playing with fire on this one. And I think if there's a vote, let's go back to the thing the journalist's insisting on, there must be a vote. That's a hard thing for Joe Manchin, Joe Donnelly, Heidi Heitkamp, and a lot of these people to do. Are they really going to vote against them?
Well, partisanship aside, that's why they signed up.
Right. I mean, exactly.
You run for Senate presumably to make votes, to cast votes. So, you know, in this kind of a circumstance, it's difficult. But this is, I'm sorry, this is the job description.
Exactly. So
thank you, Bill. We'll follow this emerging story. There's still, I think, a chance, no question that Ms. Ford will testify. We'll see what happens, and we'll be here to talk to you about it. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.